Praise the Lord. Thank y'all for coming out on a Wednesday night. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service this night. Father, I just thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. I thank you for revelation knowledge this night. I thank you, your word that we have heard before, we get something new from it this time. We get a new revelation. We see it in a new light. We hear it in a different way. But we receive something down in our spirit man that stays with us from now on. And we thank you for it, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you, if you will, to get your Bibles and go to Psalms 91. There's a series on, y'all, that was pitiful. I have to go with Patty on that. What are y'all? Where, are y'all at home? Come on in church. We're in church now. Y'all, come on. Okay, Psalms 91. We've done a lot of series on Psalms 91, and there's a series starting this month on divine protection on Wednesday nights, and then on Sunday nights there's a series starting on the blood of Jesus, on pleading the blood of Jesus. And in the day and time we live in, you can't hear this too much. There's no way. We need this fresh in our spirits. So I want to start out in the King James Version, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll not come near you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon thou shalt trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, we're going to dig in on my part on the first two scriptures. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Dwelling place, okay, is where we abide. That's where you live. That's where you are all the time, in His presence. They shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Under His shadow means under His protection. He who dwells or lives in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide under the protection of the Almighty. Now, supernatural protection is not for every Christian. Now, let me qualify that. It is for every Christian that believes it and dwells in that place, but it's not for every Christian just because they're a Christian. It doesn't just fall on them. There are conditions for supernatural protection. It's not just because you're a Christian that you get supernatural protection. There are some conditions. We believe a lot of times because people are Christians, they get it, but that's not true. You have to abide under the shadow in the secret place. That's a close relationship, to stay close enough to someone to stay under their shadow. And that's how close we have to be with the Lord, listening and doing what He's telling us to do. To dwell in the secret place of supernatural protection, we must live our life close to the Lord, have a personal relationship with Him, not just know of Him, and our mouth. Look at your neighbor and say, your mouth. Y'all going to have to get better than this tonight. Y'all are pathetic. I mean, I'm going to go down to the church down the street and preach this message. They're going to do much better than y'all are doing tonight. Y'all going to have to get with it now. Your mouth must line up with the Word.
Okay,
that was a little better. I'm hoping that y'all are going to get better as we go along. You can't talk death. You can't talk wrecks. You can't talk tragedies, or you'll be snared by the words of your mouth. I will say, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Well, I had a dream that I'd die in a tornado. Hush. That didn't come from God, and it gives Him no glory to repeat what the devil told you. You almost missed it. That didn't come from God, and it gives God no glory to repeat what the devil told you.
Amen.
Stop it. Well, I believe I'll die in a car wreck. That's death words. Those words, your words and my words, they are carriers. They carry life or death. Get the death words, we all must, out of our mouth and stop talking death over and over. So, I will say of the Lord. That's how I'm going to get supernatural protection. One of the ways, there's plenty of ways, but one of the ways is I'm going to say, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I confidently trust. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand. It'll not come near me. Psalms 91 and 7. Now, to walk in this supernatural protection, we got to talk it. We must say it out loud. We must talk it. You know, we have no problem talking about things in the newspaper and things that are going on around us. We need to be talking the Word. Don't say, now we're all guilty of this at times, we're all in the same boat together, but don't say, I'm afraid of storms. Don't say, I'm afraid of flying. Don't say, I'm afraid of driving. Don't tell your children not to play in the street because they'll get killed if they do. Don't say those things. Teach them not to do it. It's for their benefit, but don't tell them they're going to die if they do it. Declare what the Word says, not how we feel. Declare your safety. There again, Psalm 91 and 7, 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come near me. Put that scripture in your mouth. Now, Ephesians 4 and 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Now, we give place to the devil and allow him to steal our supernatural protection by speaking wrong words. It gives the enemy permission to hurt us. Now, when my mom was alive, some of you remember her and some of you don't, and wasn't here, and I understand, but back when she was alive, she wouldn't allow anybody, no matter who it was, to speak death words around her. In her presence, if you said, that just kills me, I laughed till I almost died, that just tickles me to death, she's going to correct you. She's going to stop you. And she's going to let you know death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Is that really the fruit you want? And she'd make you think about it. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, that's just taking this too far. But it's not. It's not. We say things from tradition and just the way we were raised and a lot of things. But those words were put in us. Those death words were put in us by the enemy, maybe through relatives or whoever brought us up or whatever. But I'm telling you, he had a long-range plan to kill us with those words, to hurt us and to harm us with those words. That scripture is Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It's not foolishness that we're taking it that far, that we're taking those death words out of our mouth. Some people, they talk death all the time. They kid around about that all the time, but that's not a good thing. Actually, the Bible says death is our enemy. Now, I understand, I could take a whole other thing. It's not to the Christian in some respects, because, you know, Paul said, it'd be better for me if I departed, but I'll stay for your sakes. But he was saying it's going to be a whole lot better on me if I go on to the other side and die. But death itself to the Christian is an enemy, because it's a cessation of life and what God wants us to do down here. The more you and I release death words into the atmosphere or ether, the more access the enemy has into our lives. Let me read that again. The more you and I release death words into the atmosphere, the more access the enemy has into our lives. I used to say, I'm afraid of driving in Atlanta. I said that over and over and over and over. You know what? I was afraid of driving in Atlanta. Have I ever had a wreck in Atlanta? I have. You know what? I shouldn't have been saying that all that time. And I'm learning still, after being a Christian all these years, I'm still learning how to control my tongue. I mean, it's still something I have to catch. It's not something that we've got a great handle on, but we're still working on it. Who are we agreeing with when we speak death words? We're coming to an agreement with the devil. Now, I didn't think about that. And we've been talking about the prayer of agreement, how powerful the prayer of agreement is. If we harmonize together, if we come together in something that we're praying about and we come in agreement, it's going to happen. I'm asking you, Father, for it in the name of Jesus. And we just touch as agreeing that it's going to be that way. And that's a powerful, powerful prayer. And that's what we've been teaching about. But the devil knows about that too. And he knows that works in the good side, but it also works in the other side. He can come in agreement with our words and get us in a covenant or an agreement with our wrong words and cause tragedies to come into our life. The Living Bible, Proverbs 6 and 2, says, "You may have trapped yourself by your agreement." So sometimes when we say things that are wrong things, that's all of us. He's saying, the devil's saying, "I'm glad you said that." He's saying, "I'll come in agreement with that. You said you're going to come up short this month. I'm going to come in agreement with that. You said you're going to probably have a car wreck. You just got a new vehicle and you're just going to wreck it before it even gets 2 weeks old. I'm going to come in agreement with that." That's what the devil's saying. "I'll come in agreement with your words. You spoke the words. You gave me your authority by speaking those words. And even though you're claiming Psalms 91, you're speaking death. You're speaking Psalms 91, but you're still speaking death, and that death is outweighing that life because you're speaking that death more." He's saying, "I'm glad you said that. I'm afraid I'll die in a plane crash." The devil says, "I'll agree with that. I'm totally in agreement with that. Keep speaking it." It gives the devil a place in. So we won't be supernaturally protected when we're in a plane. In the Passion Translation, Proverbs 6 and 2, which I've just been quoting, "You'll be trapped by your promise and legally bound by the agreement." Legally bound. The devil wants us to speak wrong words that will give him place. So if we keep saying, "I'm afraid I'll get snake bit and die from it," the enemy has gotten us into an agreement. Listen for your own words. Are you giving God access to protect you, or are you giving the enemy access to harm you? Our words give us access to God's supernatural protection, or our words give the enemy access to harm us. Proverbs 6 and 2 in the voice, "Then your words may be well be the trap that snares you, and your promises may seal your fate." Okay, now, I'm going to take a little side journey. What we're talking about, that was verse number 2, and I'm going to take a little side journey of something else that'll keep us from walking in supernatural protection. And it may seem odd, but it's true. Not violating safety laws, okay, will make us not in line with the Word so that the enemy has got a foot in, okay? You say, "I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor." Okay, getting in your automobile, and your automobile says it'll go 120, and you're going to find out if it'll do 120. You're going to take it on a country road, and you're going to see what you can do with it, okay? But you hit a deer going 95 miles an hour. What happens to you? You get plastered all over that road and all over that highway. And God knows if you live through it, it's just His mercy. But then you're sitting in the hospital, and you say, "I don't know why God allowed this to happen to me." God didn't do it. You're an ignorant, foolish human being. You have your own will, and you decided to take that car and try to get it to 120 miles an hour, and you hit the deer. It wasn't anybody else that did it. You were driving foolishly, and your foolishness opened the door, gave the devil a place. Even if you didn't give it with it, your words, sometimes we give it with our actions. You understand? Reckless driving. Excessive speed. And how many people in here have ever sped? Okay. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Everybody has sped at one time or another. And if you didn't raise your hand, you're a lying dog. And everybody knows you're a lying dog. And that's just a fact. All of us have sped. But so we've opened the door sometimes in little cracks or whatever. But if you do it to an excessive amount, you're opening the door wider. I just got that. I never saw that before. You know, we may go 2 or 3 miles over, and I'm still 5 miles over, 10 miles over. That's not a good thing, but it's cracked the door. But if you go 50 miles over the speed limit, you hadn't just cracked the door. You got the door wide open for the enemy to come in and take you out. You got to do all kind of destruction in your life. I just got revelation on that as I was teaching that. Unsafe ladders. Have y'all ever got on a ladder and been trying to reach? And you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay. I know I've done it. I did it not too long ago. And I was thinking, God. And God was thinking, it was just His mercy that I didn't fall off that ladder and hurt myself. But it was His mercy. But sometimes we do unsafe or silly, stupid things. And we wonder why things happen to us. And we think it's the Lord fighting against us. And it has nothing to do with the Lord. It had to do with the law of gravity. Yeah. Running stop signs. Running red lights. Falling asleep at the wheel. You ever done those things? Pastor Sharon says, I drive better when I'm asleep than I do when I'm awake. I can't say that I don't. I said, if you just leave me alone, I'd get me a good little nap. And she's constantly bothering me every time I go to sleep at the wheel. How am I ever going to get any rest, woman? Working on electrical things with the power on. It'll be all right. You're fried like a squirrel. Why did God, He was working on the church, why did God allow him to get fried like that? Because he was stupid. That's why. Stupid. It was stupid. It was a stupid action, and it was foolish, and he violated a safety law. Not using safety belts. Not using safety goggles. People that violate safety laws open the door for the enemy to attack them. And the greater the violation, the greater the attack, or the greater the door is open. Psalms 121 and verse number 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Now, Pastor Sharon. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory
Good. To God. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to pick up where Pastor left off, but we're kind of going in a little different direction, and I'm going to go over a couple of scriptures that he had already read, but I'm going to start in Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 121, and 7 and 8 says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." And then I want to read that scripture also in the Passion Translation, Psalm 121, 7 and 8. It says, "He will keep you from every form of evil or calamity. You will be guarded by God Himself. You will be safe when you leave your home, and safely you will return. He will protect you now, and He'll protect you forevermore." So that God is a God of protection, isn't He? Yeah. Amen. And so we have a covenant of protection with God. Our salvation is our promise of protection. It covers more than just our salvation or our initial coming, you know, giving our hearts to Jesus. It covers our protection also when we, as Pastor said, when we dwell close to the Lord, when we don't get out from under God, amen? And one way that God protects us is with His angels, the angels of the Lord. And I want to read again a couple of scriptures Pastor read in Psalms 91, 11 and 12. "For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Now the word bear, to bear you up, means to carry you. The angels will carry you, amen, and take you out of trouble. So we have some big angels, don't we? We have some strong angels tonight. Amen. They just lift us right up and carry us. You think about that tonight. We have powerful angels watching over us, carrying us. And then let's go to Psalms chapter 34 and verse 7. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So the angels surround us. They encamp round about us and deliver us. Amen? For those who fear the Lord. So you've got these big, strong angels that are surrounding you tonight. Everywhere you go, they are with you. When you're at home, they're with you. When you go to work, they're with you. When you go to the grocery store, the angels of God are with you. Amen? And so all we got to do is call on the Lord when we see any trouble or anything that causes us to have any concern. Call on the Lord. Call on the angels. Angels, protect me. Amen. And they're right there to protect you. And so let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. And let's read from there. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8. Through 17 says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him and warned him of it, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants says, none, my lord, O king, But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And verse 13, and he said, go and spy where he is, and that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So this young man was afraid. He didn't have the revelation that Elisha had. Elisha knew that the angels were going to protect him. Amen? And so he prayed that this young man's eyes would be opened. And so when the young man's eyes were opened, he saw all these angels that were surrounding them. And so Elijah, you know, he probably realized that this young man is going to have all this fear. And then he's going to be talking all this fear. God, I need to pray that he'll see what I know is going on in the spirit, that you've already got your angels out there to protect us, to fight for us. So open his eyes, Lord. Yes. Amen. And so the Lord opened his eyes. Now, the young man didn't see these angels with his natural eyes. But when Elisha prayed for his eyes to be opened, he saw this host of angels, these chariots of fire surrounding them. And so then he saw, but you know, the angels were there the whole time. They were already there. Now, so many times we get fearful or we get anxious or, you know, we forget, don't we, that our angels are there. And so many times we just need to put in our remembrance at those times that we have mighty angels on our side. Amen. They're right there with us. They're just there to protect us and to deliver us. And we need to call on our angels every day. You know, they're just waiting for us to give them a command.
That's right.
They're there to work for us. They're there on our behalf. They are called from God to work for us. They are called from God to deliver us and to protect us. Amen. And so as Pastor was talking, we work against the angels. Amen. We talk what the devil wants to happen. But we need to talk what God's Word says. Amen. And that makes our angels come to attention. That makes them say, hey, I'm going. I'm protecting them. I'm moving. I'm on the move. Amen. And so they take us, they take side with us. Amen. And work for us. Are they not all ministering angels sent to minister to you? Amen. So don't forget about your angels. Don't forget that you've got mighty warriors. I mean, they're not just, you know, we think of little baby angels. You know, they're just fluttering around. We have warring angels.
Amen.
Amen. Chariots of fire. Amen. They are armed. Don't you think they're powerful?
Yes.
Amen. They are well able to take care of us. They are well able to war on our behalf. You know, sometimes we get in such a situation that we don't know what to do or what to say. All we've got to do is say, Jesus. Amen. Just say, Jesus. And it gets our angels' attention. And they go to work for us. Amen. Mighty angels. Mighty angels, powerful angels. If we could just be like that young man and just see into the spirit realm, we would know that we have got, you know, and there's so many more with us than there are with them. Amen. If you feel like the enemy is coming against you on every side, that they're outnumbering you, no, that is just what the enemy wants you to think. Amen? Because your angels are outnumbering the enemy. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has given us things, amen, that we can live victorious here on this earth in this life. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've got to get our mouths. We got to get our words, amen, in line. And we've got to commission our angels, amen. Proverb family every day. Put the angels in charge of your family.
Right.
Angels, surround my family.
Yeah.
Keep them, protect them, deliver them from harm. Deliver them from danger. Amen. Don't forget, you've got your angels working. They're just waiting for your command, waiting for your words, amen? So we don't want to stop our angels with our words. We don't want, you know, they'll just stand there and fold their arms and they're tied until we give them a command or until we come in line with God's word with our words, amen? And then it opens the door for the angels to work on our behalf. Amen.